You've probably heard this at least one wedding in your lives, right? You've probably seen it on at least one sappy anniversary card. And in relegating it to just those places, we miss the point. Because Paul is writing this to a church. He's not writing this to a mass wedding. He's not writing this for Saturday nights in June and July for the foreseeable future, the high points of wedding season. He is writing this to that cantankerous group of people in Corinth and that cantankerous group of people in Marion. He's writing it to the church, a church that has struggled with women in leadership, a church that has struggled with celebrating communion and the divides of rich and poor, a church that has struggled with finding places for everyone who is there and valuing their contributions. We have letters that talk about parts of the body, right? How you need the whole thing to do what you're going to do. We have letters where Paul chides them for how they handle the communion table, where the people who have enough money that they don't have to work can sit and feast all day, and by the time people get off work, there's nothing left. Doesn't sound much like a wedding, does it? It may sound like a marriage, but it doesn't sound much like a wedding. So the challenge with this passage is to reclaim it from the little places that we've tucked it away where it's nice and safe and soft and tender. Because this is written to a church of broken people. We have discussions in the church of how do you talk to people about faith if they've never believed in anything. This is Paul's attempt to teach people how to love with words on a page. That's a pretty tough and tall order, in my opinion. Most of us, if we had to pull out a scriptural argument for this, would know that we love because we were loved first. Right? God loved us first, so we sort of figured out how to do it from there. What happens if you don't have that? Paul's going to sit down and try to figure that out with the people at Corinth. That's what he's doing here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't fail. It's not irritable. That doesn't mean people who are in love are not any of those things. Completely separate conversation. The part that struck me about this passage this time was at the very, very end. You may have noticed that Dan Seelock passed his voice on to me, so I'm doing Barry White on a day when we're talking about love, so it works just fine. What struck me this time is that faith, hope, and love abide. And abide is language we don't use that much anymore. But it means they hang out. They make their home here. They stick around. And that's something I think that we have lost track of and the church has lost track of over the years, is that these things stick. This is the place they call home. We talk, while I'm using kitschy examples, of footprints in the sand. And we want to know where God went. There's this whole other genre on the internet of, and that line over there is where I drug you. But, you know, the footprints are, there's only one set, and where were you, God, and that's where I carried you. Faith, hope, and love abide. They stick around. If you know the story in Scripture, Old Testament into New Testament, Seriously, folks, how many times could God have said, fine, I'm done with these people? How many times would you have said, fine, I'm done with these people, if you were God? Faith, hope, and love abide. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is a really interesting piece of that, because we proclaim that Christ walks and talks and eats and spits and touches and holds and weeps and dies. Those are things that happen to all of us. Those of us who abide, those things happen. So to say that faith, hope, and love abide, that they live here, first of all, Paul is telling the church at Corinth that, with all of their troubles, with all of their doctrinal debates, with all of their bad behavior, Paul is saying, look, folks, faith, hope, and love. Right here, in the middle of you. Even though, essentially, somebody had to write the principal and he's having to send you a note about how he expects you to behave, and he's telling you in this, faith, hope, and love persist. They stick around. They don't evaporate. They don't just vanish. They hang out. And then he's going to tell them. And then we ask for the rings and we do our vows. That the greatest of these is love. And that's one of our challenges. Because it's easy to love people when they're nice. When they're lovable, right? Are we always lovable? If you've greeted Tim Van Rokel lately, you've noticed that he has changed. He is no longer terrible when you ask him how he's doing. Tim, how are you? He's terrific. Somehow it's easier to love him when he's terrific with a grin on his face. The greatest of these is love. Now, scripturally, those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them, right? Okay. Quote Bible verses all day. What about love who weeps outside the tomb of Lazarus? Remember that story? Mary and Martha have a brother, Lazarus. And he gets sick and he dies. They sent a messenger to Jesus, but Jesus doesn't get there in time. I mean, if ever there was a Bible story about unanswered prayer, this is it, right? Mary and Martha approach Jesus, and I don't remember which one of them, but one of them basically looks at Jesus and says, if you had been here, my brother would be alive. Jesus, if you had been where you were supposed to be, now I know none of us have ever had a prayerful thought like that. And Jesus weeps. Shortest verse in the Bible, for those of you who are Bible trivia junkies. Martin Luther King Jr. used it often because he had to memorize a scripture verse and recite it before dinner. And Jesus wept, got him dinner several times. Jesus wept. Sometimes love weeps. Sometimes love gets called on the carpet, right? Sometimes love hurts. Now, the rest of the story of that is he just walks up to the tomb, tells Lazarus to come on out, and Lazarus gets up and walks out. And in the great rendering of the King James Version, he stinketh. But love is Love is putting up with Peter, who just doesn't seem to get it. And the 1.5 billion descendants of Peter in the Christian church today, who some days just don't seem to get it. And it's putting up with Thomas. Thomas, seriously, I told you this was going to happen. Why is this a surprise, Thomas? That's not the response that's written in the Gospels, though, is it? It's, hey, Thomas, whatever you need to do. Love is hard, and love abides. Love sticks it out. And that's a really hard thing. Sometimes endurance is what matters. In high school, I was a distance runner. And so what you get when you're a distance runner is you get all the guys who are football players and soccer players thinking that they're faster than you are. And they are for the first 100 meters, the first quarter mile, sometimes even the first half mile or mile. But by the time you're done with your 12-mile workout, there aren't a whole lot of football players left. Churches are telling a story that is 2,000 years old, because faith and hope and love abide. They don't abide at 1200 South Carbon or at whatever our address was, like 400 North Market once upon a time. They don't abide in our physical property. They don't abide at our mailing address or in our P.O. box or on our website or in our email boxes or our Facebook page or any of those crazy places that you can find church. They abide not because of us. They abide because of the one we point to. They abide because God abides. God sticks it out. God is far more patient than most of us. So reading this passage this week, once I pulled it out of tuxedos and white dresses and flowers and Pachelbel's canon, once I pulled it out of the Hallmark section of the gift cards and the winery, what struck me is how much it matters just to abide. To be there over and over and over again. So, a little bit tied in with Marna. Abide. First third, second third, third third, abide. Stick it out. See what comes next. The greatest of these is indeed love, and it lives here. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join with me as we say what it is that we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.